A month ago, a group from us from LPH attended the Pacifica Synod Conference. And while we were there, my Steve, who had accompanied Willow, went to worship one night at his own place of faith, a Shiite mosque not too far away. And with his permission to share this story, and from what I remember of what he shared about this night, here's what happened. A young man with a backpack who had just gotten off a Greyhound bus from another part of the country approached a handful of people who were leaving that mosque or that center for the night. He named this particular community of faith and asked if he was in the right place. He asked whether he might be welcomed in. What would you have done if you were any of these worshippers? What would I have done? In spite of so much, the time of day, the backpack, the attacks against Muslim communities of faith around the world, and particularly this minority one, Masih welcomed the man in the building. It was an act of hostility of great risk to Masih and the people around him, and I can imagine the simple action exacted quite a bit of courage, commitment, and deep faith. The Aspen example stays with me because of this courage, this commitment, and this faith, and also because I believe it is actions like this, holding so much risk and cost, that help prepare and hold together the tearing fabric of this society. They may seem like such small and innocent things, but their impact and example reverberates. And so thank you, Masih, for this example. But thanks to so many of you also for the same. The gospel lesson today incorporates many instructions for the 70 or 72, as it can be interpreted, who are sent out in mission on behalf of Jesus. Woven into the story is the importance of companionship and mission, a sense of urgency and hurry, the vital practice of hospitality, and recognizing that it is God who has given them the power of their work. It is not their power to celebrate. It is the sacred, that which is so much bigger than us, that gives power to the work. Sent out together, we who identify as Christians can be encouraged by each other, and I believe we can be encouraged, led, and taught by those in other communities of faith, or in none at all. It can take all of our energy at great cost to ourselves to live into the work to which we are called, even when the actions seem so small or their impact seems so invisible. Hospitality is one part of this small but vital work. I wonder, too, if it also takes reminding that our actions matter, that they make a difference. They are rooted in a power not our own, and the gospel reminds us of this. St. Teresa of Avila is quoted as saying, "Christ has no body on earth but yours, no hands but yours, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which the compassion of Christ looks out to the world. Yours are the feet with which he is to go about doing good. Yours are the hands with which he is to bless others now." Our heart, our hands, our feet, but God's work. If those who were part of Engine Number 1 last May thought they were too small to make a difference on Wall Street, they wouldn't have surprised the world. A small group of investors investing with value, not simply with greed, did make a difference. Our actions matter. Perhaps the most often quoted part of the gospel message today is the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And sometimes I feel, particularly when considering big issues like climate change or coming up against the financial powers and sway of so few, I feel like the harvest is plentiful, the workers are plentiful, but the power of the workers to enact change can feel futile. Perhaps I need the reminder of the latter part of this reading. Do not rejoice in the power given you. Rejoice that you are part of a bigger story, that your names are written in heaven, and that your work is there too, that our hands, our feet, our eyes, our actions, God's work. This is the power behind it. And I'm reminded of a prayer that is often attributed to Oscar Romero, to which I often turn when I need reminding that the work, though big and uncertain, It helps now and then to step back and take a long view. The kingdom is not only beyond our efforts, it is even beyond our vision. We accomplish in our lifetime only a tiny fraction of the magnificent enterprise that is God's work. Nothing we do is complete, which is a way of saying that the kingdom always lies beyond us. No statement says all that could be said. No prayer fully expresses our faith. No confession brings perfection. No pastoral visit brings fullness. No program accomplishes the church's mission. No set of goals and objectives includes everything. This is what we are about. We plant the seeds that one day will grow. We water seeds already planted, knowing that they hold future promise. We lay foundations that will need further development. We provide yeast that produces far beyond our capabilities. We cannot do everything, and there is a sense of liberation in realizing that. This enables us to do something and to do it very well. It may be incomplete, but it is a beginning, a step along the way, an opportunity for the Lord's grace to enter into the rest. We may never see the end results, but that is the difference between the master builder and the worker. We are workers, not master builders. Ministers, not messiahs. We are prophets of a future, not our own. Amen. I welcome you to rise in spirit or body for the hymn of the day, BLW 546.